Franklin. Nobody knows. You know he's the reason we had to get up an hour earlier, right?
Not true.
Okay.
He actually wrote that as a satire.
He did.
Yes, it was the Germans in World War I that first affected daylight savings.
Yes. And farmers. Okay, so we're going to go through a review of the first 15 chapters. What do you know about Scripture? How God reveals himself. Good. It's God's word, how he reveals himself. What do you know about God and the Holy Trinity? Three persons, one God. Living, true, perfect, eternal, unchangeable. His holiness, justice, being, goodness, wisdom, truth. God's decree. He knows what? He knows everything. Creation. Notice I changed that one because we were struggling with it. He knows all things. Creation. It's all good. God made the world 6 days of ordinary length. It's all good. Providence. This is the one you said earlier. Somebody said it. God's protective care. He's looking out. He's up. He's in control. And he's... If you look at God's decree and God's providence, what I think of is omniscience and omnipotence. Omniscience means what? Knows all things. So that's three. And omnipotent means what? All-powerful. So if somebody's all-powerful, they can do all things. And they're in absolute control. Sin, punishment. We're filthy. We're totally dirty. Why? Because of first sin. Because our first parents sin, and so we're all totally dirty. And then the other part that's very important in this one that we tend to forget is all sins deserve death. If we don't understand that concept, we don't understand the gospel. Because if sin doesn't deserve death, why did Christ have to die? He had to die because sin deserves death. God's covenant with man, covenants, I should say, in my opinion. There's one of works, one of grace. What happened if we broke the one of works? Death, right? It goes with the previous one. And if we obey, we get life. And then because we broke the first one, God sent his Redeemer, the covenant of grace, to redeem us from our sin through Christ's perfect life. So in that role, Christ acts as our mediator, which means what? He bridges the gap between us and God, or the chasm between us and God, because he was perfect, because he fulfilled the law of free will. God frees our will, converts us to do what's good, although imperfectly, still dirty rags. This is the part that was the globe. We said three things about these two things. Oh, no, this is the wrong one. Never mind. Effectual call. That's the next one. Of effectual call. I'm confusing us. It works. God's call enables us to salvation, and it works. Because we're dead in sin, he enables us. Now we're onto the globe one. Two things, saving faith, and they're separable, correct? Inseparable, and they're just both one-time events? Ongoing. Inseparable, ongoing, and they're graces from God. Without God, we would not have saving faith. We would not have repentance unto life. Justification. What is justification? God forgiving sinners and treating them as if they'd never sinned. It's a one-time deal. And the reason we say one time on this one is a hint for the next one after this one. What's adoption? Become part of the family, and what do you get because you're part of the family? You get called daddy. Good, Sherry. You get to call him daddy. You get all of his attention, pity. It's inheritance. We gain the inheritance of being a family member of God's. Now we're to sanctification. The other one was a one-time event. Ongoing, and what is it? Becoming more like Christ? Good. It's a path to becoming more like Christ. Progress is made by believers toward holiness. It's a continuation of justification. For 15, one that Mr. Goddard just did, and I changed it last week based on our struggles, or 3 weeks ago when I was here last. What is good works? It's a response To being saved for whom? Don't think too hard. Believers. Believers respond with good works because they're saved. Can unbelievers do good works? They can do good works, but they're not saved. Good. God gave them the ability, and why does he let them do good works? For his own glory. Good. For his own glory, he uses them all. It's for his purposes, is what we said. You don't get to heaven by your good works. They can't save you. They're dirty rags. And we talked about the washing machine analogy. Joey did, he brought it up. He said he sins and then he's dirty and then he's got to get washed again every single day, every minute, every second. So then what are good works if they don't save us? And that's what we said. Believers, it's evidence of a lively faith because they have been saved. And then unbelievers, only if God allows for his purpose. So now we're into 16 and we're going to go through the breakdown of 16:1. This is what it looked like before we defined our words. I'm not going to read through it. Accept means receive as legitimate. Clicking recognizes valid or legitimate, as Liz says. Valid. It's recognizes valid. Whoa, did we have an earthquake? Effectually. Successfully, or it works, we said. Come on. My clicker's not clicking. Persevere. Who can do it? Say again. Continue. Even though what? Even though it's hard. It's both of those things. Perseverance involves both of those things. If you keep on eating that donut because it tastes so good, are you persevering? Would we say that? Oh, I persevered and ate that whole donut. Josh, would you ever say that? He's laughing. Do you have to persevere to eat a donut? Me neither. So you're not, it's not something that's easy. It's something that's difficult to do. So we said, continue even when it's difficult. So here's what it said before. They whom God recognized as valid in his beloved, Christ, successfully called and sanctified his spirit, can neither totally nor finally fall away from the state of grace, but shall certainly continue even when difficult therein to the end, and be eternally saved. So we broke it down from 44 words to 18 words to this. God's children who have been called and made holy are saved forever and may not fall away for good. And if you notice, the first part of that is building on the previous chapters. There's elements of all the previous, not all, but most of the previous chapters in that first couple words we came up with. Breakdown of 16:2. There it is. Immutability. Immutability. Cannot be changed, impossibly changed. We talked about mutations. Unchanging. A mutation is a change in something. And this is unchangeable. Unchanging. The decree. Announcement. By whom? Authority. Authority. Yeah, somebody of authority. So it's an official order from an authority. It came about, and this is from Luke 2, it says it came about in that day or something that Cyrus, who was it? That decreed all the world should be taxed? No? You don't know this? It's from Charlie Brown. Oops. What does election mean? Picked, being chosen, picked. Yeah, being picked or chosen. We talked about being the last one picked on the team or the first one picked on the team. Efficacy. Lawyer word. Effective, which means what? Five is five. What does effective mean? It works. It's successfulness because it had a ness in the original. So I changed it to successfulness, which I'm not sure that's a word. That's why it's in quotes. Intercession. Ooh, we say this one a lot. Intercession. That's not the same word. Huh? What'd you say? No? Looking at the picture, what does it make you think of, Sherry? Getting together, okay. Who intercedes for us? Christ, right? He intercedes. Have you ever heard a pastor praying this or somebody praying about intercession? Do they use this word? For Christ interceding for us at the throne of grace? And I'm guessing now you're sitting there going, I don't know what that means. Hope it's good. What does intercession mean? What does inter mean? What does session mean? That doesn't work. What was that? Mediate, go between. Yeah, go between the two. So if you think about it in terms of Christ interceding for us, he is our intercessor, our go-between between us and God, and we need that because of our sin. Bridging, yeah, it goes with that mediator. What is mediator? All right, abide, and it's not the one we think of. This is stay. Okay. Remain or stay. Stay. Abide. You can show you're smart. Yeah, you're a churchy person. What does infallible mean? No mistakes, right? No mistakes. An ability to be wrong. And I wrote there, stopped here, because I know I'm always right, just don't ask my wife. If you remember, this is bringing us up to speed. Do you remember why I would write that on there? Because I'm a glutton for punishment, and I know you guys will tell my wife I put that up there. Why did I put that up there? You remember what we were talking about 3 weeks ago? It's a long time ago. I'm always right. Remember I talked about our argument. What I said was, to bring it back, was we had an argument that, we were on the way to the funeral. We were going to Santanella, and we got in an argument about lane changing or about, I don't know what it was. It was the weeds on the side of the road or Caltrans or something very important that we had to solve before we got there. And she said, you know what our problem is we both think we're always right. And I said, you're wrong about that. No, I didn't say that. I thought it, but I didn't say that. I'm more right, though. We're like technical. So it's the inability to be wrong. Do we have this ability? We have the opposite superpower, I would say. We have the ability, our superpower as humans is we have the ability to think we're always right when the evidence just isn't even close to being there. All right. So there's our rewrite. This perseverance of the saints depends not upon their own free will, but upon the unchanging of the official order of being chosen, flowing from the free and unchangeable love of God the Father upon the successfulness of the merit and going between of Jesus Christ. That's clunky, but the remaining of the Spirit and of the seed of God within them, and the nature of the covenant of grace. This is kind of like he's listing things, or they're listing things. From all which arises also the certainty and the inability to be wrong thereof. So what can we be infallible and not wrong about? This is telling us our salvation. This is saying, because if we predicate our belief and our thought process on what God thinks, we're going to be right. You get that? So if you think God's thoughts after him, and we have them, and we believe them, those things you're not wrong about. We have the inability to be wrong because we're really just quoting God. 40 words, 40% or less, from 45 to 80 words, we said, or we're saying, because we didn't get this far. The perseverance isn't because of free will. It's not that. What it is it's because God chose us and freely loved us. God freely loved us. His freedom, not ours. Freely loved us. It works because of Christ Jesus' merit, his sinless, perfect life. Because the Spirit is ongoing. That's part of our sanctification. We can do the Holy Spirit. And because God's seed in us. And because the covenant of grace is certain and cannot be wrong. So again, like I was saying, there's a list there. It's saying, it isn't this. Why is it? So if somebody was asking you, what are the three reasons why this works? It works because of Christ's merit, because the Spirit's ongoing and his seed is in us, and because of the covenant of grace. So those are the click, 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 these three things. All right. So this is one and two combined. And I tried to get even less words. God's children who have been called and made holy or saved forever may not fall away for good permanently. What does that imply, though? We can. We have these moments, right? And that's what it's talked about in the previous chapters, too. We can struggle with our walk, with our sanctification, fits and starts. The perseverance isn't because of free will, underline. It's because God chose us, freely loved us, and it works because of Jesus' merit, because the Spirit is ongoing, and because God's seated in us, and because the covenant of grace is certain and can't be wrong. Okay? All right. So this is, I'm not sure why I put this twice. Oh, I didn't delete this slide. I meant to delete the other slide. I meant to delete this slide because how my brain works is like, this is not how my brain works. This is how my brain works. I like lists. I like lists. So it says, it is because of this, or it's forever, excuse me, is the first part, and then this is why it isn't, and here's why it is. These four things. Make sense? All right, 16:3, next section. Nevertheless, what does that mean? I should have underlined that one. What does it imply? Something to contrast with something else, right? And I could say a whole bunch of, you know, really things. I know celery is good for you, and broccoli, and spinach is good for you, and lima beans are really good for you, antioxidants, and a lot of powder. Nevertheless, I don't eat them. It means I'm going to contrast something and say, I know what I know, but it doesn't matter to me. Nevertheless, they may, through the temptations of Satan and the world, the prevalence of corruption remaining in them, we know that word corruption, and the neglect of the means of their preservation, fall into grievous sins and, for a time, continue therein, whereby they incur God's displeasure and grieve his Holy Spirit, come to be deprived of some of the measure of the graces and comforts, that means of God, have their hearts hardened and their consciences wounded, or I've heard it put seared before, hurt and scandalize others and bring temporal judgments upon themselves. I want to come back to this, but I want to plant a seed right now for what we're going to come back to on that last sentence. This is saying, even though we're saved, we're still going to struggle with sin. And then this last part is talking about our sin can scandalize others. So we'll come back to that in spades, I think, later when we talk about the word scandalize. I hope we do, if I remember, by God's grace. Prevalence means what? What do you think of? I don't know what that picture means. I can't remember why I put that picture. Most common or most stronger, did you say? Most common or most stronger? What else?
A lot.
So, should I tell this or not? Spoiler alert, I'm going to tell it anyways. This is one of the ideas that I have for Iden to shoot a vine on. So it's Iden and me sitting next to each other, and we're at a funeral, and I'm crying, I'm very sad. And he leans over and he says to me, do you mind if I say a word? And I was like, no, would you please? And he stands up and he says, plethora. And then he sits down and I said, that means a lot. So if something is prevalence, you probably have a plethora of it, is what I'm saying. Widespreadness. That is not a word, I'm aware, but I'm using it. I'm coining it right now. It's widespreadness. Spreadedness is, yes, this. So it's far-reaching in a particular area or at that particular time. How would we use this word not associated with this if we were going to use this word today or tomorrow or next week? Or have you used this word? The coronavirus right now is much more prevalent than it was before. Would you agree with that? Yeah, it's more abundant. Is there a whole bunch of it compared to the flu? No. Not even close. Which is more prevalent, the flu or coronavirus? The flu, right? So that's what it means. Widespread, there's lots of it. There's plenty of it at a particular time. Is the plague prevalent right now? The plague. It is really? Like the old school plague? Oh, my goodness. Wow. Why am I not surprised? The bubonic plague. Yes? Liz is saying bubonic plague is back. Guess who's back? But it is less prevalent than it was in the days of Monty Python. I don't know what year the plague was, so that's why I'm saying that. When was the plague? Just before the Reformation, which was 1681? I don't know. 13? 14? 12? When did Martin Luther, 1591? It was 15, yeah? So we have our homework to do for next week. I want everybody to come back and tell me when the plague was. I don't want you to do that. Widespreadness, far-reaching, there's the background of it. Happened before. Clicking. All right. Corrupt means what? We've had this slide four times now. Polluted, right? Polluted. Pollution. Corruptness is pollution. Spoiled. Morally tainted. Lowered. Politicians. I could have put a politician up there. All right. Clicking. Neglect. To ignore, good. What else? Anything else? Where do we use this word, modernly? In the care of children, that's where I hear it most. There's an actual criminal charge of child neglect. If you leave your child in the car and you go into Costco, you will be charged, if somebody sees it, with child neglect. Failure to care for properly or uncared for. That analogy I just used is that. It's a failure of the parent to care for the child properly or to leave them uncared for. Not pick up. That's interesting. So if a child is crying and you don't pick them up, you're neglecting your child. Would you say that's always true, Liz? Would you say the child books that are out now tell you that? Yes. Try to make you feel guilty as a parent. All right. Preservation. Jam. That is jam or jelly. Protect. Is that what you said? Protect, says Mr. Goddard. Keep from spoiling. For the future. Keep for the future. Keep from spoiling. Those are all good definitions. I chose to go with protect. Keeping safe. Keeping in its original state. So if I put the jam up there, when you can something, jam or peaches or plums or whatever, in the summer when they're growing and fresh, and you can them, and you put them in the root cellar so that you can... Who has a root cellar? Anybody? I had one growing up. It was really cool. You put them in the root cellar, and then in the winter when you have none of that, you come back and... They are in their original or existing state. You could argue with that in the case of food because it's not the exact same, but it's not rotten like it would be if you didn't protect it and preserve it. And why does that work in preservation of jam? Sugar does what? It acts as a preservative, but you use the word, I don't know that. So the word preservative, that's a good rabbit trail, is the same, is it the same root as this word? Yes or no? Yeah, yeah, to keep it safe. To preserve something is to keep it safe, protect it. So if you see that in that word and that helps you remember it, it's to keep it safe or to protect it. Either one will be acceptable in this class. So I'm going to read through it, what we got so far. Nevertheless, they may, through the temptations of Satan in the world and the widespreadness of pollution remaining in them, it's everywhere, right? It's totally through us. We're totally dirty. And the failure to care for the means of their protection. What is that talking about? What is the means of our protection? There's several. The Word of God, prayer, sacraments, fellowship with the saints, right? Those are the means of grace, if we take, sometimes they're called that, the means of our protection. So if you think about that, by not using those things, we are leaving ourselves unprotected and vulnerable to what? To sin. Right? The less we use those, the less protection we have. Is this biblical? Can you think of a biblical passage that we maybe went through in this Sunday school about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 2013, 2014, about protecting ourselves? We did do the armor of God. We did do the armor of God. We went through that rung by rung or piece by piece, the belt of truth and the sword of salvation and the helmet of Liz knows. Everybody's like, yeah, yeah, that's what it is. The shoes of running fastness. What are they? What are those things, the armor of God? This is a quiz from 100 years ago. Well, 6 years ago. Breastplate of righteousness. Helmet of salvation. Sword of word of God, spirit, truth. Maybe we need to do a refresher on that. I'll bring it back. Shield of, I almost said it. All right. Grievous. The nerds are laughing at least. Super bad. Bad, super bad. Evil. Sad. So I don't know the answer to this, nerds. What is his deal in Star Wars? Is he good guy or bad guy? Why are you pointing at Josh? I'm pointing at Josh. Are you the guy that would know this? Who's Grievous? Isn't there a Lord Grievous or a General Grievous? That's who that is, right? Okay. What is General Grievous? Good guy or bad guy? Like, kind of bad or super bad? Does he, like, kill the Rebel Alliance and the Jedi's and blow up the Millennium Wing Fighter? Okay, but is he's a bad, 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 bad guy, and he's a general, it sounds like. So he's a guy of power. Grievous. Very severe. Is he very severe? Pretty harsh guy? No? Your partner behind you saying no. Very severe or serious. Weighty. Weighty. That's where it comes from. Heavy, powerful, weighty. Do we use this word? Do you use this word? I don't use this word. I don't hear it often, other than in church. It might be in legal. You ever hear it in legal? Contracts, yeah. I have read it there. Grievous, error. It's where we, oh, did he? There you go. It's where we get the word grief from, weighty. And think about that. When you feel grief, how do you physically feel? Weighed down, right? Yeah, heavy, heavy. I have a heavy heart. Have you ever heard somebody say that? They're going through something tough. Somebody passed away. They're having a hard time. Something didn't happen like they want. I have a heavy heart about this. It's weighing on me. And that grief can be lifted, and it feels good, or as Krista says. All right. Incur. That's them conking heads, not your soul leaving the body. If you weren't here many years ago, Rick said, it's like when your soul leaves your body. I wondered if that was the sound it makes. What does incur mean? Happen? An event? Receive? Use it in a sentence. Where do we use this word? We do use this word from time to time. Incur the wrath of someone. In finance, do we use this term? To bring about, good. There's incur debt. You could say you incur debt. So what does all that mean? Bring about, we said it. Get it. What? Cause to happen. It happened. It happened. It's experience. It's happened. It's something that's come about, right? Have you heard there's no teacher like experience? Nobody's heard that before? That's a famous quote that only I know, obviously. So I'm not going to get into it. What's another good experience? Experience is what you get when you don't get what you want. Think about that. Experience is what you get when you don't get what you want. That's why it's often not good to be spoiled. Say that, Kyle? That is correct. That's why there's no teacher-like experience, because it can teach you, but you still need to be a student of your experience. Question or comment from Pastor Needham?
Just for the sake of carefulness, experience is not the best teacher, although that's said innumerable times.
Who is the best teacher?
The Holy Spirit.
So that was told to me by him probably 15 years ago when I was spouting this same thing, and he's correct. That's where I thought we were going to go, because I thought maybe people would remember that. Ooh, I remember that time you got busted when you were up there and you said that. So that's what it comes. It is not the best teacher, as he points out. It's the Holy Spirit. So experience or become subject to usually something unwelcome or unpleasant as a result of one's own actions. So think about that in terms of debt. That's what I heard earlier. If you incur debt, is it unwelcome? Yes. Raise your hand if you want to be in debt. So listen to my 5-point financial program and I will get you out of debt. It's not an infomercial. So it's usually unwelcome or unpleasant. If you are going into debt, is it usually a result of your own actions? Yeah. Sometimes it cannot be. Rarely it cannot be. Usually it's a result of our own actions that we go into debt. And then the reason I put the picture is you look from Latin. It comes from in, which is upon. And then, I don't know how to say that word, so I'm not going to say it, to run. To run in upon. That's why they're conking heads. So it's something that happens, incur. You experience the wrath, you experience debt. Two more. No, three more. We might make it through. Deprive. To take away. Anybody got anything else or discreet? Inhibit. Where do we use this word currently, modernly? Inhibit growth in children. Where in children? Child custody case, yeah? Deprive. Where else? Diet. Have you heard it used in diet? He's vitamin D deprived. Ever heard that? I have. You guys got it. Deny the possession or use something. It does mean take away as well, but it also can mean before you even have it, you haven't given it to them. So deprive means both and. It means the individual that wants whatever it is, does not have it. It could be because you never gave it to them, or it could be because they had it and you took it away. You've been deprived of your rights. You heard that? He was deprived of his rights because they didn't Mirandize him after he got arrested. Therefore, we're letting him go, even though we saw him do whatever crime he did. All right. To release from. I'm going backwards. Scandalize. We had this one two times ago. Shock. That's part of it. Make embarrassed. What does scandal mean? Something that's bad, something that isn't done, something that's bad. That's become known. So a public bad thing. Can I add that somebody did? And we're going to say again, deprave. What we said last time was to shock or to horrify by improper behavior or immoral behavior. So the shock piece is a part of it, but scandalize isn't, if you scare somebody, that's not scandalizing. Then it means shocked. Or if you go to a restaurant and you think it's going to be $5 and your bill comes in, it's $20, you might be shocked, but I don't know that's necessarily scandalizing someone. So why do I have that dude up, those dudes up there, those gentlemen, those? Sherry remembers that very well. What happened? It was from Watergate. What did the president of the United States allegedly do? People broke into the Democratic headquarters and he covered up. He did that. He didn't do the break-in, but his folks do. What I would say is the president acted in a manner that was not consistent with the manner we expect our president to act. I think that's why it's a scandal. The president's supposed to act this way. He did not. Therefore, we're shocked because he shouldn't have acted like that. If a criminal broke into the Watergate headquarters on his own just because he was really into politics, would that be a scandal? No. Because there needs to be a shock factor for something to be scandal. It's supposed to be this way, and it's not. What's a modern scandal? We have them like every day now because of the internet. Nobody knows of any scandals? The bribery to get into colleges. These celebrities who are moral, perfect, upstanding pillars of our community paid to have their kids put into college, right? That was a scandal. Why is that a shock? Shouldn't be. But why was it a shock to the world? most people don't have that kind of money as part of it. It's not the way it's supposed to be, right? It's supposed to be you earn grades and you take the SAT and the ACT and you participate in extracurricular activities and you write an essay and then they choose the best candidate for college. In this case, it was they wrote a check and got chosen for that reason. So it's not the way it's supposed to be. So we're shocked by the immoral, improper behavior because colleges are supposed to be better than that. Are there any scandals in the church? Oh, yes, Sherry. Yeah, there's lots of them. There's lots of them. And probably the church is the biggest target because why? Not which crime, what? We're supposed to be better than that, right? We're the ones that are supposed to be moral. If we're thumping the Bible and quoting Scripture, we should be moral. So any little slip-up that we have has the potential to be a scandal. And do scandals affect, who do scandals affect? Think about the Nixon one or the college one. Everybody, right? Everybody is affected by a scandal. It's not just the individual involved and maybe the family. Mr. Goddard has a comment or a question.
So can we, one thing that came to mind there for me is to think of this as a violation of a standard, a perceived violation of a standard in behavior. Because scandal usually is some form of behavior.
Exactly, yeah. So we're expecting this standard, and then it doesn't get met, and it becomes a scandal. I'll pick up on here next time, because I want to talk about the seed that we've talked about planting when we go to the next one. So we'll read through this, and then we'll pray to see how far we got. Nevertheless, they may, this is the believers, they may, through the temptations of Satan and the world and the widespreadedness of pollution remaining in them and the failure to care for the means of their protection, which we talked about, fall into very serious sins and for a time continue therein, whereby they experience God's displeasure and grieve His Holy Spirit, become denied possession of some measure of the graces and comforts, have their hearts hardened and their consciences wounded, hurt, and shock others and bring temporal upon themselves. Affects others, and then we'll talk about others and ourselves with our sin, Lord willing, next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we could spend together reading through this stuff.